Sideshow. This is a different show. We are in the night garden, deep in the undergrowth underneath the rhubarb leaves, and we are taking the slugs away. Stay with us on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. We're still here taking the pokes from the leaves on 103.2. It is The Sod Show, Dublin City FM. Good afternoon.
And we're back in the studio. Good afternoon to you. It's Brian Green and Peter Donegan for the next 30 minutes. Katrina Redmond is on the blogs. You can catch those blogs at sodshow.com/news. If you were there during the week, you might have caught the pop-up competition that nobody on the radio heard anything about. Nobody on the podcast knew about it either. You had to be in with the in crowd on Facebook and on Twitter and on the sodshow.com blog. And our good mates at Celtic Gold gave us 3 t-shirts to give away. 3 lucky winners were happily dispatched towards the end of the week. So miss it, miss out. Maybe someday soon we'll give a few t-shirts away here on the radio show. Something else you'll find over on the blog is something expiring today. So if you want to get involved in this and you haven't heard about it, you have until about close of business today. The Board BA National Organic Awards 2014. Got to get in quick because its closing date is Friday the 5th of September. The National Organic Awards, in association with Board BA and the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, return this October to mark the achievement of Irish organic food, drink growers and manufacturers who create excellent quality organic products. The awards, which will be judged by a team of industry experts, including Ivan Doyle, proprietor of Brook Lodge Hotel and Spa, that's the one down in MacRedden, Ockram, County Wicklow, I think. Food entrepreneur Colm O'Sullivan, co-founder of Cully and Sully, and journalist and author Dr. Oliver Moore. It'll take place at Board BA's Dublin headquarters Tuesday the 14th of October, but the closing date is today. So if you want to get into the organic awards, get over to Board BA for more details. Coming up on today's programme, Peter talks to Chris Bates, one of America's largest publishers and an editor of some of their finest gardening magazines and publications. That's coming up in a couple of moments time. We told you last week, but now it's closer. The Howth Peninsula Heritage Society, Howth and Sutton Horticultural Society, will hold their autumn show Saturday the 6th of September 2014. The show is open to the public for viewing from 2:30 until 4:30. Exhibits of plants, flowers, cookery, vegetables, fruit, cakes and art are welcome. There are children's classes also. Entry forms and show rules are available at hshs.ie or from the secretary on 086 818 3709. And that's taking place Saturday the 6th of September in Pubblescull Nasson, Baldoyle. That's St. Nesson's Community School off the Moyclare Road, Baldoyle, Dublin 13. You heard it here on The Sod Show. Something myself and Peter Donegan have discussed and said we must do an item on here on The Sod Show is how gardening can help your mental health. An article that I came across in The Telegraph this week, How Gardening Helped Cure My Depression. Rachel Kelly talks to The Telegraph, and we'll just read you some of that story. At first, gardening meant nothing to me. I was too ill. Dr. John Horder, a former president of the Royal College of General Practitioners, likened the physical effects of depression to coronary pain. He said if he had to choose between suffering from renal colic, a heart attack, or an episode of severe depression, he would avoid depression. That's why I wanted to kill myself. not because I didn't like my life, but because I couldn't stand the pain anymore. But very slowly I began to recover, thanks to time, drugs, the love of my family, poetry, and crucially, gardening. You can pick up this article from the bottom of today's show notes at sodshow.com. And as I say, myself and Peter have been discussing having this as a topic on a future Sod Show. So if you're interested in taking part in that, get in touch. It's info@sodshow.com. If you've got any news items for us, you know where to drop them, the same email address. With thanks to our sponsors, greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. They're at greensax.ie. You can also drop them into your trolley in the supermarket. Greensax, thanks for the support, lads. Now it's time for Interview of the Week, and Peter Donegan caught up with Chris Bates. He's a publisher in the United States of America. Let's go over to Peter for the full story.
And my company is Chris Bates. Have I pronounced that correctly, Chris?
Really close, Peter. Bates.
Bates. It's spelled B-E-Y-T-E-S. Okay.
It was mangled when an ancestor came across from somewhere in Italy, came into America. Everybody got screwed up, and I got stuck with Bates, but there you go.
It's a bit like Barack Obama suggesting you should have an apostrophe after his first O when he came to Ireland. Chris, your employment.
Bates.
Yes, indeed. Your employment is probably the easiest way to ask it. Or what do you do for a living?
Sure. Well, I'm the editor of a magazine in the States called Grower Talks magazine. It's a trade magazine. It's for professional flower growers, basically, mostly annuals, bedding plants. But we also have a retail magazine called Green Profit. So I cover the growing and retailing of plants for professionals.
Okay, so how is the industry in the United States, first of all, because Ireland is like a micro dot. And we've seen, you know, John Wayne do things in Ireland and the Quiet Man.
I've been to Kong. I've been to Ashford Castle. I've done the tour.
And how was it? Were you inspired?
It was beautiful. My dad, who's 93 years old, he's 95 now, but when he was 92 or 93, he wanted to come to Ireland and see Kong, where The Quiet Man was filmed. So I took him on the tour with my wife and my stepmom. We had a wonderful time. It was very nice.
Okay, for those of you who aren't aware, the reason I'm talking to Chris is because the Irish Garden Centre Congress and
International
Garden Centre Congress, I'm being corrected here by a man who's already in the media, so I can't really argue with him. And also with thanks to Board B, who have brought myself and a few others from the Irish media. Yes, Peter, from the Irish media. Yep, not landscaping, just Irish media on this tour. But Chris, give me an overview of the American horticultural industry in garden center terms, if you can.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a small little country. We're practically just an island, really, when you look at it from way out in space. That's the funny thing about being here in Ireland, which really is an island. Well, this past spring was really good for most garden centers, although it started ridiculously late. Very, very cold, hard winter. I'm based out of Chicago, and we saw lots of snow, lots of way below zero temperatures. So it started late. Everybody was worried. But it started really strong. Everybody had cabin fever, as we call it, and it continued right up into July. So most of the garden centers I know, whether they're tiny mom and pops or the big chain stores, did really well this year. As a whole, I think the garden center industry is, I guess I would say, steady. It's not booming. Gardening is a nice hobby. I won't say it's got a lot of growth. Vegetables seems to be an area that maybe is getting some younger people into gardening, and I think that's kind of happening in other spots around the world, maybe even here as well. We despair, is the future generation, you know, Gen Y, are they going to garden? And I hear that around the world as well. But for the most part, the garden center industry is strong, still challenging. You've got to be a businessman. If there's any difference I've seen in 30 years in this business, it's you can't just love plants anymore. You've got to be a businessman.
You've come to Ireland, you noted quite correctly that they are indeed two islands, one slightly just a little bit bigger than the other. There's a good, nice big dollop of a joke in there. In short, you've been, I know, this week to a lot of garden centres in Ireland, from Carlow to Dublin, to you've met growers, you've met the Pat Fitzgeralds of this world, and you've also done some nice tours along the way. How do the Irish garden centres compare, number one, in size? But number two, I suppose, again, you bring it down to business person, businessman, business in short is what it is. How do they compare at all?
Well, when you go on a tour like this, International Garden Center Association, you tend to see the cream of the crop. And we've done that with Rachel Doyle and with Brian Mayer, people like that, who really, they strike me as true business people, not garden center business people, but they know business. Brian used to be in the wholesale bicycle industry. So these people are really smart. Not that we don't have really smart people in the States, but it's rare to find people who know business as opposed to the garden center business. So they're having to learn pretty fast, especially as they compete with the chain stores. The garden centers themselves, gosh, we have some really nice ones in the States. Not as many for as big as we are. You'd think there'd be hundreds of really nice show places, glass palaces, we call them. They're not that many, so they're sort of rare as you travel the country. We tend to have a lot of mom and pops, very quirky little plant places. We don't get into lifestyle. That's something else we've seen here. In fact, somebody told me they're moving here beyond the term lifestyle in garden center, which I find kind of interesting. We haven't quite gotten there, except that our best centers, kind of the whole lifestyle as opposed to just gardening. And so a few of the cream of the crop places we've seen here will hold up against any I've seen anywhere in the world. And I've seen them in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, France, Germany, you name it. I've seen them all. And there's some beautiful ones here.
You noted the lifestyle thing. The one thing I know from anybody I know who's been to the States, apart from it is one of those places that you got to go, be it Chicago, New York, whatever the case may be. But the one bit of feedback that comes back always is that everything in the US is bigger. And everything in Ireland, including the women from Galway, are smaller. Like, you know,
I haven't been to Galway, so I can't comment on that one.
Well, we don't have a Shaquille O'Neal that I'm aware of, or like a very tall basketball team. Maybe we do. I don't know. You know, I haven't done my research on Irish Basketball Association.
I hope so. At Sodshow
on Twitter if you want to give some feedback on Sodshow.com. But how does it compare size-wise, Chris?
Well, I'll tell you, best example I've seen is the butcher shops. I love meat. I love to cook and, you know, grill and smoke meat. And where were we yesterday? We were walking around Killarney? Yes, I think we were Killarney. Beautiful butcher shop I walked into. Vittler's called, it's called, you know, great word. Actually, it's a southern word, Vittles in the States, adopted from over here. And you look at the portions of meat for sale, tiny little pieces of meat. Little tiny things. You think, I need six of those just for myself and a few more for my wife. But I've noticed that through a lot of Europe. I think we eat too much meat maybe in the States. But then again, there's nothing like a big one-pound ribeye steak, perfectly grilled, rare, maybe medium rare, with a glass of red wine. I'm making myself hungry here, Peter. I've eaten well here, though.
That's got nothing got to do with garden centers. So
what else you do better than we do? Guinness beer is better here for some strange reason. You get a pint of Guinness at even the most Irish of Irish pubs in the States, and it's pretty foul. But here, it's amazing.
I have never returned a pint of Guinness of my life in this country, I'm proud to say, irrespective of time, day, date, or hour. Chris, bring me back. Were you always a writer? Is it a writer that you are?
Yeah, I'm a kind of writer, editor, photographer, videographer. I do a little bit of everything, and I've done that for a long time. But what really happened is I was in college, didn't know what I was going to do, like most, you know, 18-year-olds. And I was terrible at math, but the one thing I could do was write. I could write a little bit, and that kind of steered me down the path towards journalism. And what steered me towards the path towards horticulture was my wife now, my girlfriend at the time. I bought her some cocktail begonias, back on the beer topic there, cocktail begonias. She fell in love with plants, became a horticulture major. And I got a horticulture minor, and we had the opportunity to go into the greenhouse business straight out of college with the help of her dad. And he helped us build a small greenhouse, and that was kind of the end of it, or the beginning of it, I should say. We did that for about 10 years, and very tough way to make a living. That's what I found. As I walk through greenhouses like the big one here at O'Connor, how beautiful it is, I know what a tough business it is. We were doing this in Florida, where it's even tougher, but we got out of that. And I decided to see if my journalism degree would do me any good. And that eventually led me to Chicago, where I became an editor for Grower Talks magazine. And I've been there for almost 21 years now. And now I run the show for the publishing company. So, and I get to travel the world and talk to people like you and tour great countries like Ireland now. So it's not so bad.
That's a pretty good job for a living. How big is the how would you say it, the editorial market in the States?
For a job, I think.
Are you offering me a job?
We don't do podcasts yet, so this is a whole new thing for me. I do a lot of video, but you're good with the microphone, and you ask the right questions. So we have a very small staff. We have 7 full-time people, and I have about 6 freelance editors around the U.S. So, yes, an international correspondent? Well, send me a resume.
Oh, to send you my resume. You can follow me on Twitter. Are you on the Twitter thing?
Twitter, I leave that to the younger people. I do some Facebooking. I did a little bit today, the International Garden Center Association Ireland tour. If you look that up, you'll see some of the photos that I've posted. We have a little bit of fun with cutouts of notable Irishmen. We have Bob Geldof on our bus, as a matter of fact. I took him to the races yesterday, bought him a pint. You could see the photos. Out there on Facebook, the Facebook, yes.
For those who aren't aware, the Bob Geldof is a cardboard cutout, and he is being brought everywhere over the weeks. I believe there's a Bono as well, and a couple of other people to go with.
Cardboard. I had no idea. No wonder I had to keep buying the pints. He was tight.
Explain to me a bit about the magazine, Chris.
Yeah, well, Grower Talks was started in 1937. And I've been there 20 years now as the editor. I've just finished my 250th issue with September. I just did the math a little bit ago. And it's all about the production of bedding plants and perennials, a little bit on cut flowers. But for those people who do it commercially, who then sell it to the retailers, and then the retailers sell it to the end consumer out there.
Are you a weekly publication? Do you have a circulation?
Weekly would kill me. No, we're only monthly, and we circulate to about 28,000 growers and retailers around the U.S., Canada, a little bit in Europe. Something else I'm known for, and actually anybody can follow me on this, is an email newsletter that I do every week. It's called Acres Online, and if you go to ballpublishing.com, and at the bottom of the page, you'll see 6 different newsletters, and all of which I manage. I have 5 other editors who help me out with them, but mine is called Acres Online. That reaches about 26,000 people every week in 68 countries. In fact, I have my laptop with me today, Peter. I'll be writing it probably at dinner. I'll be working on it because I want to try to send one from Ireland out to all my 26,000 closest friends.
Okay, so if you're driving on the road and it's 3 o'clock in the daytime, don't pull over to the side of the road. Just search for Chris Bates. Bates. My apologies.
You have to put that disclaimer in there.
Terms and conditions apply. Chris Bates may not be Chris Bates. If you don't get a full Chris Bates, he may return to you in the post.
And objects in the mirror.
Yeah, objects in the mirror. Oh, they always seem closer. Chris Bates. Search it on sideshow.com. I'll put all the show notes and links just in case you're catching us on iTunes.
YouTube.
And
well,
it's in the future.
YouTube. So this is reaching gardeners for the most part. So if anybody wants to see behind the scenes of brand new flowers that have not yet reached the market, if you go to youtube.com/growertalks, GROWERTALKS. Now I sound like a commercial. We've got about 400 different videos we've done over the last few years, but at least 50 showing brand new varieties coming out for next year. So you'll see them out there.
And the other publication you noted, Chris?
Green Profit magazine, which, and the interesting thing, it's 2 magazines, but they're connected together at the spine. So anybody who subscribes to one automatically gets the other. And what it does is it puts the whole industry, growing and retailing, in one package for those people in the business.
Are you print? Are you print only? Are you web? Are you web with a paywall?
We're print primarily. We have everybody in this day and age, as you well know, you have to be multimedia, digital. And so we have a digital version of the magazine in 2 different fashions, PDF or HTML. And I have no idea what any of that means. And I can tell from your face you don't know either, but they're out there. If you go to ballpublishing.com, you'll see both magazines. You can read them out there in several different fashions. The only people who can get the magazine, though, are professionals. It's not for the end consumer. Sorry about that.
And why the difference between the two magazines? So why have two if they're both for the trade?
Well, one is all about production. We're standing in here in a greenhouse full of what look like primula, and there's a lot of technical details as far as the pot size, the potting media, the fertilizer, the watering, timing, all those kinds of things, varieties that retailers aren't necessarily interested in. They want to get a beautiful finished plant, but the retailer wants to know, well, what varieties are out there and what colors, and they want ideas about how to merchandise them, how to make them more attractive to the end consumer. So that's what we kind of cover on the two sides of the magazines, how to grow the plant and then how to sell the plant.
Okay, this all makes perfect sense. So when you come across to Ireland, as I discussed with one guy from, where was he from? I think it was Australia. I'm really sorry for that impression. But when you come across, do you get, as I suggested to him, happily put it, and I say happily, double underlined, put it down as a business expense, but yet I'm going to, inverted commas, Ireland. Sorry, honey, I won't be home today. I'm staying a week longer.
Well, my honey is in the greenhouse back there having lunch, and she's actually, as I said, in the industry. When she got those plants for me in college, she went crazy, got a horticulture degree. We had our own greenhouse for about 10 years. Now she works at a small commercial greenhouse near us in Chicago doing sales. And my company, which I run, so I guess I have control of the budget, says, yeah, we need to come to Ireland with the IGCA. So my company's paying for my half, and we'll write off her half. So one way or another, but it's like a vacation. I mean, we're in Ireland. About half of the trip, maybe not even that much, is actual time in garden centers or greenhouses. But we visited some beautiful gardens. We went to the races last night. We were at Jameson Distillery. We had dinner with the president of your country on Monday night.
I was there. You had dinner with me as well, Chris.
So you didn't seem to get the time on the stage, though, for some reason.
I rugby tackled him outside. Michael D. outside. He apologized for not noting me in his speech. It always works out that way.
A lot of Secret Service. You know, if you try to get President Obama to show up at one of these things, well, you wouldn't get him. That's all. He'd be on the golf course. But
yeah,
that's
he's very open to hugs. He's very you're a little bit taller, though, Chris.
Yeah. Anyway, so the kind of things we get to do on this trip, it really is, it's a vacation. It's a working vacation, but we're having a wonderful time. We finish up here Friday night with a gala banquet, black tie, the whole nine yards. And then Saturday, we're going to jump in a rental car and head up to Northern Ireland and see the whole thing with the Titanic, the Giant's Causeway. We're staying a little farmhouse B&B, so we'll kind of continue the and hit some more garden centers up there as well.
Yeah, of course you have to when you're writing it off as a business expense, as you. Chris, if people want to take a look at what you have online or subscribe, is there a best website to go to?
Yeah, well, the starting point would be that ballpublishing.com. That kind of links to everything that we do. But we also have the YouTube page, youtube.com/growertalks, where you can find a lot of the videos that I've made. You can see what I look like, although I have the sort of the face for radio kind of a thing, you know, that we all talk about. And there, you know, if you want to learn about what's going on in the industry, where things get grown and that kind of thing. That's what I do, you know, although I'm an avid gardener as well. So.
Chris, can I ask you before you go, one final question. There's a lot being said about the future of print. In Ireland, we had no trade magazine for a long time. The magazines, the amount of magazines that are available to the public in circulation seem to be slightly on the decline. That said, the interest in horticulture is on the rise in this country. That said, we have only one full-time garden radio show and no full-time garden television show, unlike our counterparts in the UK. How is it in the States, and what's the future hold for print for you?
A couple of topics. Well, when it comes to gardening television, we have very little as well in the States, and it's unfortunate. I've been told it's because there's no advertising support. There's plenty of advertising for the food, for construction, for home makeover, all those kinds of shows. And I've seen them here as well on Ireland TV. There's not much in the way of gardening television in the States. When it comes to magazines, I'm a firm believer in print. Print is not going away, just as radio didn't go away when television came along, and television didn't go away when the internet came along. We just have more choices. But the key is you've got to be really good. And so I, as a magazine editor, I'm also sort of a publisher. I actually gave my publisher title to somebody who likes doing spreadsheets more than I do, so I could concentrate on things like this, traveling. I understand the finances of it. You have to be really, really good at what you do, really sharp. And we consider ourselves a boutique publisher, just like boutique garden centers, small but really nice. really good product, maybe get a higher price. That's the way we treat our publishing company. If we do a really, really good job, we're going to be around in print for a long time. But at the same time, I'm burdened down with video cameras and tape recorders and things, just like you. So we're covering all the bases.
What's the future hold for Chris?
Well, let's see. I'm going to learn how to pull a pint of Guinness tomorrow night, I believe. And or is that tonight? No, that's tomorrow night. That's tomorrow sometime. Yeah, so that's really, why look beyond that, you know? And once I've done that, then everything else is just sort of downhill.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real, genuine pleasure.
Pleasure's been mine. Thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you. Brian, back to you in the studio, my man.
Back to you, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Peter. 103.2 Dublin City FM, ballpublishing.com if you want to check out Chris's company on the internet, ballpublishing.com. For those on the podcast, we say goodbye. For those staying on the radio, it's Song of the Week time. What have we got for you? How can you fit a 7-minute song into the last 3 minutes of a show? Well, you can't, but we'll fade it out appropriately. The artists are Zrazy, and the song is You Make Me Happy. Zrazy are playing at the Phoenix Park, Farmlea, September 14th at the Bandstand in the afternoon. Exact time unknown at the moment. Notes aren't here. Production very poor. But this is You Make Me Happy. And we dedicate it to Joan Rivers, who made people very happy with her comedy for 55 years. Joan Rivers, R.I.P. This has been The Sod Show. Thanks to Peter Donegan on production, Katrina Redmond on the blogs, Greensacks for sponsoring us, all the crew back at Dublin City FM. Talk to you next Friday, 3 p.m. for myself, Brian Green. Take care. Bye-bye.